He spots her right away, sitting so still. She's at one of the picnic tables, leaning into her sketchbook, but not drawing. She's just staring hard at something in the bushes, a chipmunk over by the thistles, maybe, or a dragonfly. She doesn't turn her head to watch him walking by. It's the curl of her short black hair, the muscle in her neck. It's the way she holds herself so still that makes him want to be that particular dragonfly or whatever it is. She's still there when he comes back from his truck with the cooler in the pan. He'd packed for the possibility, figuring either way it can't hurt to have a couple of beers along, and that chocolate bar won't do any harm. It's one of those expensive gourmet ones, dark chocolate from somewhere in Europe, and crusty bread, and fresh tomato. The cooler, though, was something an astronaut might be comfortable with. Zippers and secret pouches worked into the insulated box, made entirely of soft materials you could only get from a chemistry lab. He regrets it now. He wishes for her sake that he'd brought his old battered metal bucket with the clasps on the side. More like those lunch boxes school kids carried. Had hers featured the Powerpuff Girls? Hello Kitty? No, not her type. More like the Little Mermaid, ready to discover a new world. He'd been so proud of his, Darth Vader and the Wookiee, until peer pressure forced him to stop bringing lunch from home. No more little surprises tucked in there by his mom. She flicks her eyes over to him, but gives him no opening, focused now on the charcoal gliding across the page. It's not a chipmunk, he can tell even from here. She's drawing the thistles with their proud, unlikely flowers. She has on shorts and a t-shirt like anybody, but also, he has to admit, not like anybody. That morning, even a few minutes ago, he'd wished he was in the wild, not in his dinky park with its carefully spaced grills, each one with a tidy stack of firewood for the campers. He pictures her in a coffee shop in Chicago, maybe, noisy traffic on the street, and she, in a summer dress, sipping a foamy latte, maybe sketching, maybe waiting for somebody, a lawyer or a broker or some kind of hotshot. The birch bark and the kindling catch right away. He erases the coffee shop, sees her on the third floor of a big Victorian house, looking out the window. She doesn't need any pompous lawyer boyfriend. She's thinking about throwing a tent and a sleeping bag into the trunk of her car, thinking about feathery spruce and the sun rippling on the water. His knife is sharp. The fillets slip off the scaly skin, cool and clean. His movements are sure, as economical as a trout slipping through the water. He feels her eyes on him now as he walks over to the nettles, not the ones she's been sketching, their sisters, nearer to his table, and deftly cuts off the whorl of leaves on top, chops them into the sizzling butter. You draw 'em, I eat 'em, he says, with a shrug that is, he's pretty sure, disarming. I didn't realize they're edible, she says. Her voice, the way she pronounces the words, is way educated. He thinks she grew up with linen and porcelain, sandwiches with the crusts cut away. Oh, they're more than edible. You'll really like it, especially with the fish. I caught more fish than I can eat. I thought you're not supposed to do that, take more than you need. Well, you never know, he says. Who might show up just in time for lunch?